Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church, a place to find refreshing faith in Jesus Christ. Visit us in Doncaster, East Melbourne. You're always welcome here.
This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 to 15. Moses writes this about the righteousness that is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Thanks, Ange, and good morning, and welcome to Deep Creek. My name is Pedram, and please let me know if you would like to be part of the things on the screen, or if you're not, then, well, we find a way to. We are exploring finding faith, and as Layli said, next week is the last session of this Finding Faith, as we explore the faith that we have in this world, not just at the church, but outside the church, how we live out our faith as Christian and believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So today, we will explore what it means to live out our faith in 21st century, in a postmodern world, and how faith begins and why sharing the gospel matters to us. I will change. Yeah. All right. So let's pray together. Gracious God, as we open your word today, we ask for open hearts and attentive ears. Speak to us through the scriptures. And by your Spirit, help us to hear the message of faith, to receive it with trust, and to respond with obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How the words we hear shape what we do daily, in our daily life. We all have moments when words shape our decisions. Every day in our postmodern world, videos and voices and comments from people on social media, politics, ads and friends, influencers, everywhere, they influence people and us more than we realize it. So you scroll through the Instagram or Facebook and see an influencer talking about a new smart vacuum machine and you weren't planning to buy any and suddenly you find yourself that the vacuum machine is in a cart. And or during the federal election last 2 weeks, constant messaging from the candidates and begins to shape our thinking and the decision. And through repeated thousands and thousands promises of hope and change for future. Or even when shopping, it is often the reviews that we read, not just the product, but the review of other people that guide our choices. Words shape what we do. Why does this happen? Well, because words carry power. They shape our perception of reality in our life. And often without realizing it, we believe the words we hear. And belief leads to action, leads to decision, leads to do something. That's exactly the dynamic that Paul is talking about here in Romans chapter 10. He says, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? So the gospel is not just another message between all those messages that we hear from the world. It is the message. It is the message that calls for belief and transformation. And just like we act on the words we trust in everyday life, we act eternally on the words of Christ when we hear them and believe. So what's the difference? Well, the words of advertiser, influencer, or politicians, they all offer temporary benefits. But the words of Christ offers eternal life to each of us who believes in Jesus. So in verses 5 to 8, Paul shows us a contrast between law and faith. And he says that, shows that faith has always been central to a right relationship with God. The law's righteousness is based on doing, but none of us can do it perfectly, right? So the law isn't the problem. We should know that the law is pure and it's talking about the holiness of God. And it's not a problem. We are the human right. It reveals God's standard, the law, but not the power, doesn't have the power to fix it. It doesn't matter what age we live in, whether 3,000 years ago or here now in 21st century, the root issue remains the same. Our sinful nature. Like an x-ray that shows a broken bone but can't fix it, the law exposes our sin but can't heal or cleanse it. It tells the truth but doesn't change us. Paul points to a better way. He's talking about a righteousness by faith. We don't need to reach up to heaven or down into grave to find God, because Christ has already come and risen from the dead. The work is done, not by human, but by God himself. And the good news, the word is near you. You don't need to climb up a ladder to reach to God, to find, to be righteous in the eyes of God, but the gospel is right here, in your mouth and heart, and ready to be received and to be proclaimed. So then in verses 9 to 10, tells us exactly what this message contains. These two verses are among the clearest summaries of the gospel in all of the scripture. If you need a short summary of what the gospel is, these are two verses. Faith involves both believing and confession. If you look closely, you will notice something fascinating. Verse 9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It begins with the mouth and then mentions the heart. But in verse 10, the order is reversed. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Why is this change? Is this just the style that Paul uses here? But I don't think so. I believe that's deeply intentional. Because God wants us to see that true confession is never just about saying the words. It's not about empty reputation or external performance. It's a confession that comes from a deep well of belief in our hearts. The mouth simply gives voice to what the heart holds dear. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 6, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, if you truly believe deeply and inwardly that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, your mouth will declare it. And that declaration will not be superficial or performative. It will be genuine. It will be worship. It will be a true testimony of living with Jesus. Last Saturday, we had a great baptism service at the cathedral, and an Iranian grandmother of four to stand to publicly declare her faith in Christ. In the liturgy from the prayer book, there is a part where the priest asks the candidates to make a personal response, and Layli asked her, "Do you turn to Christ?" And her response was simply, "I turn to Christ. I do." So it might be a short response, just two words, but they were full of meaning. They were the outflow of a heart that had been awakened by grace and transformed by truth and brought into living faith. It was the visible moment of a mouth declaring what the heart already believed. Well, faith is not only internal trust, nor is it just external words. It is the union of both. To confess Jesus is Lord is to acknowledge his divine authority, his rightful rule over our lives. Back in the olden days in the Roman Empire, where Caesar was hailed as the Lord, to say Jesus is Lord was a bold and radical declaration. Similar in our 21st century, declaring Jesus is Lord is still a bold and radical declaration, especially in societies where personal autonomy, success, or political ideologies are treated as ultimate authorities. But in a culture where personal autonomy is prized, submitting to the Lordship of Christ challenges our self-centeredness and calls us to a life of obedience and trust. To confess Christ as Lord is to say that no one else has the final word over our lives. Only Jesus does. Faith is not private. It's personal, yes, but not hidden and private. We are all called not only to trust Jesus inwardly, but to declare him outwardly as well. Verses 11 to 13, Paul says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone from every nation, every languages, every society class, everyone. There is no second class citizen in the kingdom of God. No one is beyond the reach of grace of God. So our performance, our past sins, or presence, or whatever in the future, none of these things can exclude us from offer of salvation by Jesus Christ. All that's required is this: call on the name of the Lord. That's it. Believe in his name. Depend on his mercy. Confess his lordship in our life. But someone might ask, do I really need faith in God in 21st century, in this postmodern world? Well, the simple and short answer is yes. Perhaps now more than ever. We all witnessed during the pandemic. We all witnessed that how the modern advancements, the technology, the knowledge that human has cannot fill the gaps. And the problem is our sinful nature and the gap between us and our Creator God. So faith in God speaks directly into those gaps and places. It tells the busyness person that their worth is not based on performance, but on being a beloved child of God. It tells the anxious parents that they're not alone, that there is a faithful father who sees and cares. It tells the exhausted Nikki nurse on a night shift that she's not carrying the weight. She's not alone. Jesus is present beside every hospital bed, even with her sleeping colleagues. Faith in God in the 21st century is not about rejecting science or hiding from a hard question and complexity in this world. It is about knowing where your true foundation lies. It's about trusting that when everything else feels uncertain, God is still steady. It's about opening our life to the one who brings peace in chaos, hope in sorrow, and purpose in the middle of confusion. It means following Jesus not just in belief, but in everyday action, at work, at home, and in our relationship. It means letting the gospel shape our decisions, our relationship, and how we respond to the challenges of this modern world. Then we see in verses 14 to 15, Paul brings a series of rhetorical questions. To call on Christ, you must believe. To believe, you must hear. To hear, someone must preach. To preach, someone must be sent. And it's a beautiful chain, a divine sequence that shows how God brings people to faith through the proclamation of the good news, the gospel. This is why the word of God matters to us. At our churches, homes, and our neighborhoods, people can't believe in a message they've never heard, can they? And they won't hear unless someone tells them. This is why sharing our faith isn't optional. It's not something that we hide from others. It's essential. A few years ago, one of my friends was preparing to travel to Iran, and his desire was to carry Bibles with him to share God's word with friends and families in Iran. But as you know, this is incredibly risky. So we searched for a safe way to do it, but every option seemed too dangerous or impossible. Then one of the team members said, instead of carrying Bibles into the country, why don't you become a living Bible to carry the good news of Jesus yourself? So we paused. We prayed for that brother, that God would protect him and empower him and bear fruit through him. And God did exactly what we prayed. When he returned, he shared that during that time, he was able to share the gospel with 25 individuals, talking about Jesus and a testimony of how Jesus shaped his life. We are the ones that sent. We are the ones called to speak. And Paul concludes with this, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Well, feet might not be the most glamorous part of our body, but in God's plan and economy, the ones that carry the gospels are beautiful because they bring life. They bring real hope. The Bible said it's a living hope. It's not a superficial hope. They bring peace and bring changes to people's life. The word of God will change people's life. So what does this mean for us at Deep Creek as followers of Jesus? This passage reminds us the gospel is not just for unbelievers. It's essential to be preached, but it remains near to our life and active and living in the believers. The word that brought to us
that brought us to life is also the word that sustains us, that transforms us every day. So faith is not just a private conviction or a one-time decision. It's a daily rhythm of hearing, trusting, confessing, and proclaiming. If the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, then our entire life become a space where the gospel lives and people can be witness of that. So let me offer three simple but challenging invitation based on this truth for us. So the first one, faith comes by hearing. That doesn't mean listening to sermon on Sunday or just going to the church. It means creating space daily in our life to hear the word of Christ. This could be setting aside 10 minutes each morning or to read scripture slowly and reflectively. It could mean listening to a podcast that would shape our spiritual life while we are traveling or driving. Or it could be memorizing a passage from the scripture that we can carry during the week. So if we are not hearing the word, our hearts will start to listen to other messages, the other messages that is spread out everywhere, the ones that form us without us even noticing that. So it's a good moment of asking ourselves a question. What am I filling my ears and heart with? So the second, speak the gospel where you are. When we say Jesus is Lord, we are making a claim that confronts every other claim to authority, whether it's success, family expectations, or national identity, or personal autonomy. To confess Christ as Lord is to resist the subtle pool of idols. Not just the obvious ones, but even the respectable ones, like careerism, security, self-actualization, or even ministry success. The challenge for Christians today is not just to preach the gospel from pulpit, but to speak it in kitchens, on commutes, in cafes, at work, when they're at gym, from their lives shaped by the gospel and submitted to the Lordship of Christ. So there is a challenge here for many of people. You don't need to be a theologian to share the gospel. It's good to have a good knowledge of the Word of God, but you just need to be honest and available. Some Christians hesitate to speak because they feel unqualified. I don't have Master of Divinity or Theology, so then I don't know how to answer the hard question. But the people around you don't need perfect answers. They need your real story. Your real story of what Jesus has done to you. And you know what? Everyone has a story. Like Chantal started every week. So everyone has a story. And this story is unique for each of us, that how God has shaped us through this journey. People love to hear these stories. So when it comes to time of discussion or very normal conversation, you can talk about your hope, your struggle, your transformation. It gives others permission to wonder, to ask, to seek. And this is a great opportunity for the Holy Spirit to open this space for them to explore what Christianity means. So, but Paul here doesn't say, how can they hear unless someone perfect speaks or perfect preaches? He says, unless someone is sent to go and talk. And then Holy Spirit will open the way for us to share our faith with others. Many of you may know Brother Andrew. He's known as God's Smuggler. He was a Dutch Christian and the founder of Open Doors Ministry, and very strong and supportive ministry among persecuted Christian and churches, and especially in Iran and underground churches. So during the Cold War in 1950s, he smuggled over 1 million copies of Bible into countries where scripture was banned. 1 million copies. So he once said this: God does not choose people because of their ability, but because of their availability. Are we available for God and ready to share the story that we have? We are all saints, not as experts, not as theologian, but as witnesses. You may not have all the answers, but you have a story, as I said. You are a living testimony to the grace of God. Proclaiming the gospel is not about status or training or perfect theology. Yes, it's just being you and talking about your faith. Well, you can start small, very small steps. Offer to pray for someone during the week. If someone comes to you, talk to you, say, "Can I quickly pray for you?" Or name Jesus in your conversation while you're engaging with someone in a conversation. Or share how scripture encouraged you this week, or listening to a sermon or podcast encouraged you. And we don't want to underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will open the way through all those conversation, our daily life, at our workplace, at our families and relationship. And lastly, let confession shape our whole life. When Paul says we are to confess Jesus as Lord, he doesn't mean once at conversion or when we get baptized. He means that our whole life is to be shaped by that confession. The more we confess Christ with our mouth, the more our hearts are aligned to his lordship. And the more our hearts are rooted in him, the more naturally our mouth would proclaim his goodness. It will change how we handle money, how we forgive others, how we prioritize our time, how we treat others, how we speak to our children, and how we endure suffering. Well, in practice, it could be like this: choosing integrity at workplace, even when it costs you, or serving at church or your neighborhood without even recognition, staying faithful in a hard relationship, or speaking truth when it's unpopular. This kind of life is not loud, but it is powerful. And it begins with the daily decision to say, not just with your mouth, but with your whole life, that Jesus is Lord. The word is near us, not only when we first believed, but today, in 21st century, in this season, in your questions, in your complexity at work, your family, in your relationship, or in your fears. God has placed his word in our hearts to anchor us. He has placed it on our lips so that others may know him too. When we embody the word we've believed, we become the beautiful feet that Paul speaks of, the one who carry good news wherever we go, and we carry the testimony and the story that we all each have. Amen. I